Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, June 6th. Colorado is leading the way for states that want to create a public health insurance option. Governor Jared Polis has signed laws to that effect, and now he's asking stakeholders to let their opinions be known. Eric Gladys has the story.
Colorado's efforts to create a public health insurance option that would compete against private insurers is off and running. Governor Jared Polis signed legislation in May that directs state agencies to develop and recommend a plan by November of this year and are holding stakeholder meetings to get input. Deborah Brown with the group Good Business Colorado says an affordable public option would help support small and medium-sized businesses across the state that want to offer coverage but can't make it work financially.
At the end of the day, there's a benefit to people in our communities, not just our employees, but the general health of our community is important to the success of our businesses.
The next stakeholder meeting is set for June 13th. Critics of a public option say the move will dramatically increase the size of government and argue the state shouldn't be in the private insurance business. The bill's sponsors point out that on the western slope, there's only one company offering coverage and argue that competition for health insurance dollars will drive down prices. Brown says her group's members come from all sides of the political spectrum, but they share common values when it comes to outcomes, along with the need to show up and participate in creating a plan that works.
We don't necessarily care about big government versus small government. We want good government that works to meet the needs of Coloradans.
State agencies are looking for feedback on costs, funding sources, eligibility requirements, and how to clear hurdles to win federal approval under the Affordable Care Act. Mahi Palanisamy is co-owner of Hypatia Studio, which offers 3D printing STEM classes. She's hopeful a public option will eliminate some of the stress facing workers and business owners who need their employees to be taken care of to succeed.
And that we care, you know, we want everyone to feel good when they come to work, that they know that they're protected and their families are protected because it increases productivity at work.
This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And now, here's KVNF's Jody Peterson with a story about how the federal government will be taking a closer look at the climate change impacts of fossil fuel development on some public lands.
In Colorado, oil and gas development on federal public lands generates more than $2 billion a year. But that development also ends up generating a lot of greenhouse gas emissions, which contribute to climate change. Environmental groups have long sought to force the government to take a hard look at the climate impacts of leasing lands for fossil fuel production. Several groups, including the Western Environmental Law Center, filed a lawsuit in 2016 over nearly 500,000 acres that had been leased to energy companies in Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming. The lawsuit asserted that the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, did not adequately consider climate change when it offered the leases. In March this year, a federal judge ruled on the Wyoming portion of the leases, saying that the BLM should have estimated the greenhouse gas emissions that would be produced by extracting and then burning the oil and gas that could be produced by the leases. Then, in late May, the BLM said that it would voluntarily do the same kind of estimate for the Colorado and Utah parcels. The federal judge's ruling found that while the BLM had summarized the potential impacts of climate change on each state and across the country, it had not provided the information necessary for the public and for federal decision makers to understand how much leasing the parcels would contribute to climate change. The judge, Rudolph Contreras, wrote in his opinion that, given the national, cumulative nature of climate change, considering each individual drilling project in a vacuum deprives the agency and the public of the context necessary to evaluate oil and gas drilling on federal land before irretrievably committing to that drilling. BLM Colorado spokesperson Kirby Lynn Shedlosky explained that the agency will now perform additional study to quantify the greenhouse gas emissions that could be produced by the leased lands.
BLM Colorado considers greenhouse gases and climate change in all of the oil and gas lease sale environmental analysis that it does. And so it is continuing to improve its NEPA analysis of all the resource impacts as new information becomes available, and that the EA will, you know, work to address the issues identified in the court's decision.
After the March ruling, the BLM had halted the approval of new oil and gas wells on the Wyoming leases until it completed the climate change analysis required by the court. That analysis was released in April, and it concluded that the Wyoming leases have only minor potential to worsen climate change. The energy industry expects the same outcome for the Colorado and Utah leases. The environmental groups that filed the lawsuit say that the ruling sends a clear message. The Bureau of Land Management needs to consider the regional and national climate impacts of its entire fossil fuel leasing program. The groups say they'll continue to work towards that goal. For KVNF Radio, this is Jody Peterson.
From the Denver Post, Colorado wildlife officials suspect that a bear that bit a hiker last month had lost its fear of people after coming to rely on backyard bird feeders for food. Colorado Parks and Wildlife said that DNA from the black bear killed following the Memorial Day attack near Aspen confirmed it was the same bear that bit a woman hiking with her husband. It also said the necropsy showed that its stomach mostly contained birdseed. People who live near bear habitat are warned not to use bird feeders or leave their trash unsecured to avoid attracting bears and getting them accustomed to human sources of food. Wildlife officers said the run-in was entirely preventable and said that bears will continue to have to be killed until people heed those warnings. Next, the Grand Junction School District has a new superintendent. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, School District 51 Superintendent Diana Serco no longer has interim attached to her title. The district's Board of Education voted unanimously Tuesday to approve a 2-year contract for Serco, making her the permanent superintendent after serving in that role for the most recent school year. All 5 board members lauded Serco's performance, and 4 of the board members made it clear that they were comfortable making the hire official. The board also recognized the stability Serco brought to the position after she replaced former superintendent Ken Hoptonstall, who left in August 2018 after a controversial administrative shakeup. Serco's new contract starts July 1st and runs through June 30th, 2021. She will be paid $205,000 for the first year of the contract. The board can budget in a raise for the second year if it chooses. And finally today, the Delta County Commissioners signed a contract to construct a new human services building. According to the Delta County Independent, the commissioners contracted with Stryker & Company of Montrose to build the new human services facility, which is expected to take about a year to complete. The contract was signed for over $2.4 million. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, June 6th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.